Well, Bishop Jean tells the story of when he went to Philadelphia. He was running late and he got lost driving his car. He was going to be giving a talk at the town hall. But he lost his way and he noticed a playground nearby. And he stopped by to ask these teenagers for directions on how to get to the town hall. Of course, Philadelphia is a city of brotherly shove. Remember that? So you don't know about that. So he goes there and the kid says, what do you want? Bishop Sheen says, I want to go to the town hall. And this smart aleck kid from Philadelphia says, what for? And Bishop Sheen says, I'm going to give a talk. And the kid says, about what? Bishop Sheen says, about heaven and how to get there. And the kid says, you can't even find your way to the town hall. So tonight we'll be giving a little talk about how to get to heaven. So this title is really 10 steps to grow closer to God, 10 ways to grow in holiness. And that's why God created us, to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, to be happy with Him forever. So everyone here is called to be a saint. Everyone here is called to get to heaven. We're all called to be saints. What is a saint? A saint is someone who gets to heaven. And other definitions of saints are the friends of God. Another definition is a saint is a sinner who never gave up. Somebody who kept trying and persevered to the end. Once a little girl was asked what a saint was. And she was inside the church and she looked up at the beautiful stained glass windows. And she saw the beautiful rays of light shining through. She says, I know what a saint is. A saint is someone to whom God's light shines through. What a beautiful definition of a saint. So all of us are called to holiness. Vatican II emphasized that. We're all called to evangelize. We're all called to be apostles. We're all called to become a saint. That is the goal of each and every person. Now, of course, how do we get to heaven? It's the grace of God. You know, it's because of what Jesus Christ did through his passion, death, and resurrection. He died for us so we can get to heaven. But we have to accept that. We have to respond to that. As St. Augustine said, God created us without our will, but he will not save us without our will, without our cooperation. So we have to respond to God's grace. If you had a rich uncle and he left you $10 million, but you never went to the bank to draw from that, yes, he did that for you. But you have to go to the bank and draw that out. Jesus Christ died for each and every person, but not everybody will accept that. Not everybody will go to the bank and see these $10 million of graces that Jesus won for us. Let's say you buy somebody an expensive gift, but let's say they never unwrap it, they never open it. Well, that's how it is with so many people. Jesus died for each and every person. Everybody's been given that gift, but you have to open it and make use of it and respond generously to God's grace in your life. We're saved by the grace of God that operates in our life through faith, hope, and charity. But we have to respond generously to God's grace. So I'm going to very quickly walk you through 10 ways to grow closer to God. Sometimes I call this 10 steps to personal holiness or 10 easy ways to become a saint. Number one, the first thing that you need to do, if you're writing this down, the first word is have a goal. Have a goal to get to heaven. Have a goal to become a saint. Saint Therese, as a little girl, had this great desire to become a saint, even as a young girl. At 5, 6 years old, he had this burning desire to become a saint. And as you know, burning desire is at the heart and at the root of all success in life. So we have to have desire for union with God, a desire for holiness. Now, some very good books I'd recommend that talk about the importance of goal setting and how we become what we think about. Of course, anything written by Earl Nightingale, the great success philosopher, Earl Nightingale, had his life changed when he discovered the fact that we become what we think about. Very simple. We become what we think about. If people think about holy things, they move in the direction of holiness. If people think and meditate upon how to rob a bank, they move in the direction of robbing a bank. If people are always thinking about drugs and immorality, they move in the direction of that. Another great book is As a Man Thinketh by James Allen. Anybody ever read that book, As a Man Thinketh? I knew Chuck read it. He also probably read a lot of the Earl Nightingale things. Napoleon Hill, Chuck mentioned the other day, Think and Grow Rich. I think I've read that about 6 or 7 times. What a wonderful book. He talks about these 10 ways to achieve anything. See, we can transform that book into Think and Grow Holy, right? Because what are riches? Well, riches, whatever you want them to be. For some people, it might be financial. For others, it might be health. For others, it might be relationships. For others, the riches would be, and hopefully are, union with God, getting to heaven and becoming a saint. So think and grow holy. So in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, one of his first chapters is on desire, having a burning desire, having a passion about something. And we have to have that desire to become a saint, because we all become what we think about. We are goal-setting organisms. A pilot, before he takes off, he has a goal. He knows he's going to land in San Francisco or San Diego or wherever. The captain of the ship has a destiny. He has a goal. He wants to go to Jamaica by tomorrow morning. Right? That's the goal. You just don't take a cruise ship and take your hands off the wheel and hopefully it'll wind up in Jamaica. It's not going to happen. So if you take your hands off the wheel of your thoughts, you're going to wind up on the rocks somewhere. So have a goal, have a target. Zig Ziglar says, how can you hit a target that you don't have? And uses the example of an archer shooting a bow and arrow. Imagine if you put a blindfold on the person, spun him around 3 times, and let him shoot. What are the chances he's going to hit the target? So you have to be focused and have a target and a goal, and your chances are infinitely greater that you will hit that target. So the first step is to set that goal with God's grace and God's help to grow closer to Him, to become a saint. Second step, study the faith. Read and study your faith. Begin with the Bible. Begin with sacred scripture. And make that commitment after you leave here today, 15 minutes a day of daily scripture reading. So start with the Bible. I'd recommend starting with the New Testament. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then work your way through the New Testament. I wouldn't recommend starting with the Old Testament, because that by the time you get to Leviticus, you're going to give up. So it's better to start with the New Testament, and then by that time, finish the New, then start with the Old, and work your way through the Old Testament, and then you'll be in the good habit of daily scripture reading. In fact, I know I've heard of a person that whenever a young couple gets married, he gives them a beautiful Bible, a beautiful family Bible, one of the big ones you see on the coffee table. And the inscription he always writes is, it pays to read the Bible. And of course, sometimes when the couples get these gifts, they're a little bit upset because they were hoping they would get something better, maybe some money. But one thing they don't realize, and sometimes they find out 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, that in the pages of the Bible, this fellow put 10 $100 bills. That's why he said it pays to read the Bible. Okay? So sometimes people will open it up and begin reading and they discover that. Now, it's just a good example, though, of how many times we have the Bible, but we never open it up to see the riches and how much it does spiritually pay to read the Bible. So after the Bible should be other good spiritual books like The Imitation of Christ and the great spiritual classics. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is what a wonderful compilation of all the teachings of Christ and the Church over 2,000 years. Then the third thing we should read is the lives of the saints, right? The great heroes, the men and women just like ourselves who made it to heaven. Some of them were doctors, some lawyers, some teachers, some moms, some dads. And when we read these, we're inspired because there were people just like ourselves with difficulties and challenges, but they, with God's grace, made it to heaven. Saint Francis de Sales once said that scripture is like sheet music, but the lives of the saints were music sung. So we need the scripture. We need that's the sheet music. But when you want to see it lived out, when you want to hear it and see it, then read the lives of the saints because they live the scriptures so beautifully. So we study the faith because the more we know about God, the more we can love Him. So every day, 10 or 15 minutes a day of spiritual reading. And the second part of studying the faith is listening to educational CDs. We're so blessed in America to have Catholic Lighthouse and Mary Foundation and so many others. that are producing these wonderful CDs, these Christian CDs on the scriptures, on marriage, on how to share your faith, on how to grow closer to the Lord, how to raise kids, how to improve your relationships. So, of course, we used to have cassette tapes. Remember those? I always enjoyed reading cassette tapes. I often would tell people back then, don't become a bookworm, become a tapeworm, right? Listen and read lots of tapes. Well, now, of course, all the tapes are now onto CDs. Now they're onto all these different wonderful things like iPods and computers and podcasts. So we have these great opportunities now through the internet to be able to have access to these wonderful Christian programs. So the educational CD, this really is one of the greatest inventions since the printing press. As I mentioned, if you drive 10 to 20,000 miles a year, sitting in traffic, 1 year of listening to educational tapes in your car is basically, according to a UCLA study, equivalent to about 1 year of a college education. So as Dr. Peter said the other night, 5 years of sitting in traffic, that's 5 years of continued college education. So again, turn your car to university on wheels. The third way to grow in holiness, according to what the saints have told us, is to do the duties of your state in life, to do God's will every day. St. Maximilian Kolbe used to take a blackboard and he used to write to his students, little w equals big W. Our will should equal the will of God. And when that does that, then we grow in holiness. When we conform our will to the will of God. So St. Therese, a little flower, says, do ordinary things extraordinarily well. Do ordinary things with great love for God. So what does it mean to do the duties of your state in life? Well, if you're a student, it means to do your homework, to study. If you're a mom, to be the best mom you can be, the best wife you can be, the best husband, the best father, to be the best that you can be in that field. So many times people think that if they were only in a different state of life, they could become holy. Some people say if they were only a nun, they could become holy. If they were only a priest, they could be holy. If they could only be married, they could become holy. So you have to realize that your acres of diamonds are right where you are right now. Who's read the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell? Chuck, of course. Very good. So in this, he tells the true story of an African farmer who heard about diamonds. And so what he did was he sold his property and then for the next 20 years went in search of diamonds throughout the African continent. Eventually he despaired, he threw himself into the ocean and drowned. Well, a few years later, somebody was back on the farm that they had bought from that fella and they realized his creek bed was filled with diamonds. This fella had sold acres of diamonds. He owned free and clear acres of diamonds, but he had never checked his own property. He sold it in order to go out and search for diamonds somewhere else. It's a good lesson that, you know, you have everything it takes in your own state in life, within your marriage, within your being single, with being a priest. You have what it takes. You have your own acres of diamonds right where you are today. You don't have to run off to Africa to become a missionary, to become holy, even though that's a beautiful way of life. You can become holy right in your own workplace, doing the dishes in your home, taking your kids to school, raising your family. As Kimberly Hahn says, I'm changing the world one diaper at a time. And that's what we have to do. We have to realize that that's how you become holy, is doing the duties of your state in life as a Christian living in the world today. Number four, make Christ the very center of your life. And we're so blessed in our Catholic faith to have the Holy Mass and the Eucharist to center our life around Jesus, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Communion, body, blood, soul, and divinity. To be able to go to Mass every Sunday or perhaps even every day. Because the Our Father says, give us this day our daily bread. And in the original language, it not only means, you know, bread, but supernatural bread, which would be referring to the Eucharist. So whenever we go to Mass, we are nourished by God's Word in the Bible and by the Holy Eucharist. Whenever we go to Mass, we should offer our Mass for someone that we love or for a special intention. And the beauty about the Mass is that if you went to daily Mass every day for 2 years, you hear the Bible, almost the entire Bible, being read to you on a two-year cycle. If you go to Sunday Mass once a month, you hear almost the entire Bible being read to you on a three-year cycle. So yes, we can learn the Scriptures by going to Mass. The Liturgy of the Word comes first, then the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary, said that because the Eucharist is Jesus, the source of grace, if you're really serious about holiness, not only will you go to Mass faithfully every Sunday, but even every day. Maybe start during Lent or during Advent, and then hopefully you can continue this good practice throughout the year. Again, if you're not Catholic, though, obviously you're going to church, you're reading the Word of God, you're reading the Scripture, you're making Jesus the very center of your life. And you're doing that through your daily prayer life and staying close to the Lord. You know, Scott Hahn, in fact, I encourage all of you to listen to his conversion testimony. Scott Hahn has a very powerful and dramatic conversion testimony. And he loved the Lord so much as a Protestant minister. He loved the Lord. And when he became Catholic, of course, it was a big shock because he had been anti-Catholic for 20 years. But after he read the early church fathers and continued to study Scripture, the Lord led him into the Catholic faith. And he was so grateful because he said all these years he had Jesus. He had Jesus in the Bible, in the Word of God. But now he says he has him in the Blessed Sacrament. He feels now he's a completed Christian, a fulfilled Christian. Because not only does he have the menu, which is the Bible, but he now has the feast, the banquet, which is the body and blood of Christ. Number five is regular confession. Again, for those that are Catholic, going to confession on a regular basis, once a month, or certainly maybe every few weeks, going to confession is giving our soul a shower. Well, if you're not Catholic, what do? Well, you repent of your sins every day and every night. We do this as Catholics as well. We say the act of contrition. We tell God we're sorry every day for our sins. And so if you're not Catholic, if you don't have confession, well, you confess to God and you tell God you're sorry for your sins. Remember the first things that Jesus said when he came on the scene was, repent and believe. John the Baptist, first words out of his mouth, repent of your sins and believe. So the spiritual life starts with repentance, telling God we're sorry for our sins, and then moving forward to grow in holiness. Now, the benefit of confession, of course, is that you actually hear Jesus speaking to you through the priest. And again, it's only Jesus that can forgive sins, but he uses the priest as his instrument. The same way when you got baptized, Jesus baptized you, but he used that priest or minister or deacon as his instrument to baptize you. So the priest is merely the channel, the instrument of God's forgiveness. And when we go to confession, we hear the words of God telling us that our sins are forgiven. We receive good spiritual direction, good advice, encouragement to help overcome the big sins as well as the small sins. Confession helps us to grow in holiness, to grow in humility, because it takes humility to go to confession, which helps to offset the pride which is at the root of all sin. A confession is giving our soul a shower. Imagine meeting somebody who didn't take a shower in 20 years, right? You'd want to sit way back in the back of the auditorium. So giving our soul a shower in confession, it's balancing our spiritual checkbook. By going to confession, there are so many benefits of that. Number six, sixth way to grow closer to the Lord, to grow in holiness, is to have a tender and loving relationship with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And again, we as Catholics, we do not worship Mary, we don't adore Mary, we adore God alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we show Mary honor and respect because she is the mother of the Lord. As the Bible says, honor your father and mother. And so Jesus certainly honored his mother perfectly, and we want to honor her as well. And since Christ lives within us, then Mary must be our mother as well. Mary's the mother of Christ and the mother of the church. If Jesus lives within us, which he does, of course, as Christians, then Mary must be our mother. That's why Jesus said to John at the foot of the cross, John, behold your mother. And he said to Mary, this is now your son. John was the beloved disciple who represented each one of us. All of us are called and want to be the beloved disciple of Jesus. And so we honor Mary, we respect her, just as we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, so we need Mary as our personal spiritual mother. Many of you have lost your mom in this world, but you have a spiritual mother who is our Blessed Mother. And as one priest once said, if she's good enough for Jesus, she's good enough for us. And I remember somebody once asked Whistler, after he painted that beautiful image of his mother, somebody said, well, how could you have painted such a beautiful image of your mother? He says, you know how it is. You know, when you can create your own mother, when you can, you know, paint her, wouldn't you want to make her as loving and beautiful as possible? Well, God was the only one who could create his own mother. And that's why he made her without sin. That's why he made her immaculate. That's why he made her a chosen vessel through which Jesus would enter this world. Remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, which means that Mary is the mother of the way, the mother of the truth, and the mother of the life. So the Blessed Mother leads us to Jesus, guides us to Jesus, and will walk with us to Jesus. She is that perfect prayer partner. Number 7, another recommendation on growing closer to God is a daily plan of life, daily prayer. So a plan of life, daily discipline. As I mentioned before, a discipline is doing what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. And disciplines are so important in our spiritual life. As one author said, when you sow a thought, you reap an action. When you sow an action, you reap a habit. When you sow a habit, you reap a character. When you sow a character, you reap a destiny. It all goes back to our thoughts, right? Our thoughts leads to our words and our actions, which lead to habits, either good or bad, which lead to character, either good or bad, which lead to destiny, either heaven or hell. So it all begins with our thoughts and daily disciplines of forming good habits. As Jim Rohn said, that good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with. What he's basically saying is that it's very easy to develop bad habits, but they'll make your life miserable. It's more difficult to develop good habits, but they'll make your life fantastic. So good habits, good discipline can help. So daily plan of life would be daily prayer. Sometime every day to talk to God, to have time every day with the Lord in prayer. And the best way to start your day is to dedicate your first thoughts to God when you wake up every morning. As Bishop Sheen says, there's two kinds of people that wake up every morning. Those who say, good morning, God. And those who say, good God, morning. So you ask yourself, what kind of person are you? Are you a good morning God kind of person? Or are you the other kind of person? Hopefully we dedicate our first thoughts to God. So when you wake up, we say what we call a morning offering, or your daily devotions. You spend that time reading scripture, talking to the Lord. Harry Beecher Stowe said, you know, the first hour is the rudder of the day. It'll set your whole life in a certain direction. So you dedicate your day to God. St. John Vianney said that the Lord will give you all the graces you need for an entire day by in your morning prayer. That's your nutritious, protein-filled breakfast, right? Your spiritual breakfast every day. The food for your soul is your daily prayer life. Somebody once said, if you only ate as much as you prayed, how hungry would you be? If you only ate to the same amount that you prayed, would we have died long ago of spiritual malnutrition? So we need a good prayer life. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, those who pray will be saved. Those who do not pray will be damned. Very simply. If we pray, we come in contact with God, and we move towards heaven. If we don't pray, we drift away from God. So we wake up every morning and dedicate the day to God in the morning offering, the daily devotions in the morning. But at night before we go to sleep, there's another bookend of the spiritual life. It's called the examination of conscience and the act of contrition. We go through the day and we examine our conscience. We think about all the good things and thank God for all the blessings. But then we look at what we did not as well as we should have. And we repent and we make an act of contrition, an act of sorrow for our sins. And the last prayer we say before we go to sleep is an act of contrition, an act of sorrow for our sins. So those are the two bookends of the spiritual life. The morning prayer and then the examination of conscience and the act of contrition. Number 8 is sacramentals of the faith. Now this is something very interesting because all of you know about the 7 sacraments: baptism, Holy Communion, confession, confirmation, matrimony, etc. There are 7. A sacrament is a visible sign instituted by Christ to give grace. A sacramental is a miniature holy thing. Sacramentals are things such as the cross, having a cross in your home, or a crucifix, or a rosary, or the Bible. The Bible is a holy sacramental. And having a cross in your home, or having a holy image, maybe a beautiful painting of Jesus, or Mary, or the angels, or the saints, these are little holy objects that can remind us of the Lord and help us to get closer to Him. Holy water is a great thing. In fact, there are 2 steps how to make holy water. Step 1, take ordinary water. Step 2, boil the hell out of it. Okay? You get a priest or a deacon to bless it. That makes it holy water. The sacramental principle is that when a priest, an ordained priest, blesses the water and prays over it, that prayer, it goes wherever that water is sprinkled, okay? It's a holy thing. And this is used in, there's many passages in Scripture where if the handkerchiefs of Peter and Paul are taken to the sick and placed upon them, and they're healed. So these are the sacramental principles, things such as the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the home. Blessings are sacramentals. And you as parents, every night before your children go to sleep, should give your children a blessing. That is your God-given right, and that's your responsibility, to bless your children. Read the book, The Blessing, by Gary Smalley, a wonderful book about making sure your children receive your blessing. So I brought some sacramentals tonight, some brown scapulars, and some medals called the Miraculous Medal. So those are blessed, and help yourself. Feel free to stop by the table and pick up some of the sacramentals. See, the Miraculous Medal is, again, a beautiful medal to entrust yourself under Mary's care, that she'll keep you close to Jesus. In fact, there was a true story up in Baltimore in 1989, August 31st. A woman waiting for a bus had a man come up and ripped her pocketbook from her, took out a gun, and shot her in the chest. The bullet hit one of these miraculous medals, broke the medal in 2, but it stopped the bullet from piercing her heart. They took her to Johns Hopkins Hospital. The doctor examined her, said the medal probably saved her life. So the moral of the story is, if any of you ever go to Baltimore, I want you to wear one of these medals. Number 9, again, the last 2, very quickly. Number 9 is an understanding of the mystery of suffering, the cross. See, everybody in life has crosses, toils, and disappointments of life. And you know, what is the sufferings that people endure? Maybe for some of you it was growing up, you know, stuttering. Maybe for others it was being born without arms, like we saw the other night, somebody born without arms and legs. That was their cross. That was their suffering. Sufferings can make a person bitter or better. It can be their stumbling block or it can be their stepping stone. It can lead them closer to God or further away from God. Look at the 2 thieves. One on the right, one on the left, both of them were being crucified. One accepted Christ, one rejected Him. Your sufferings will be either valuable or harmful to you spiritually, depending on your attitude towards them. If you see your suffering and look for the silver lining, look for the good, look for what God is going to bring out of it, Sometimes, you know, when a person is fired from their job, it's like, well, how could God let that happen? Well, usually he brings about a better job, you know. Or if somebody has an accident and God can bring them through, they look back and they see, you know, Bishop Sheen said that he was, you know, hospitalized 30 times during his life with different illnesses and difficulties. He said, looking back on that, that was the most spiritually beneficial time because he had time to pray and meditate and unite his sufferings to that of Jesus. So don't waste your sufferings. Offer it up to the Lord. And lastly, number 10, serve others. Have a ministry. Have an apostolate. Share your faith. They say if you don't use it, you lose it. Whether it be a foreign language or learning how to play the piano or whatever it might be, if you use something, it becomes stronger, like that muscle. If you don't use it, you begin to lose it. So we need to share our faith by teaching religious education or doing pro-life work or being involved in different, you know, Bible studies or organizations to spread the faith. My own parents, their ministry was the Legion of Mary. My mom and dad met in this organization in the church called the Legion of Mary. They met 55 years ago. They've been married 53 years. And in fact, they met at the Legion of Mary meeting, and then the priest who got my dad into the Legion did my mom and dad's wedding. And believe it or not, my mom and dad took him with them on their honeymoon, believe it or not. So I think even Mark and Muriel didn't go that far. So, but they took the priest with them to Dublin and to Lourdes, and they had a wonderful time growing spiritually and meeting Frank Duff, the founder of the Legion of Mary. So figure out, what is your apostolate? What is your ministry? Is it serving the poor? Is it sharing the faith, evangelizing? But do something that will bring other people closer to God. And if you do that, then you yourself will be brought closer to God. So again, the purpose of being on the face of the earth is to one day be with God and to get to heaven. We'll just end with one of the favorite Hal Roach stories of these two brothers in Ireland, Pat and Mike. And they were holy terrors all during their teenage years. They were always being arrested. They were, you know, carrying on in the pubs, drinking, and causing Father Murphy terrible headaches all throughout their young adulthood and into their grown-up years. They still were the holy terrors of the village. Well, eventually, Pat died. And Mike, who this time had become quite successful, said, Father, I want you to offer the funeral mass for my brother. And I'm willing to give you $100,000 for your church. Oh, Father Murphy was very reluctant to do it because, you know, he had never gone to church. Pat had never gone to church. He was a holy terror, always drinking and carrying on. But he said he would do it. And then Mike said, and by the way, Father, you have to tell everybody in the homily that my brother Pat was a saint. Oh, Father Murphy didn't want to do it, but he remembered that $100,000 and the leaky roof of the church. And so the funeral comes along. And during the eulogy, he says, well, Pat was a holy terror. He never went to church. He drove us all crazy for years and years. But compared to his brother Mike, Pat was a saint.